Tara Locker Grant here in for Ryan Tuberty. Now, you may have spotted this in the paper that Trevor Hogan, former international rugby player who retired in 2011, he also played for Leinster and Munster, has been very passionately involved with Gaza Kids to Ireland. And he's in studio now to tell us a little bit more about it. Trevor, first of all, thanks a million for coming in.
No bother, thanks a million.
So tell us first of all, what is this? For anyone who hasn't heard about it, what is Gaza Kids to Ireland?
Well, it's just a project we launched yesterday. We've probably been working on it for a good while, to be honest, but it was yesterday we finally got the website up and running and we got ourselves ready to officially launch. And we're bringing over a team of kids from Gaza in August 2015. So it's the anniversary almost of the war just recently passed, where we all saw the terrible pictures, especially where children were really most hardly affected, you know, hundreds of children killed, thousands injured. But this is just a small gesture. We wanted to do something tangible to try and make a little bit of a difference. So it's a positive thing in a way. We're bringing over 15 kids that will, you know, they'll get to taste a little bit of normality. We hope they're going to be able to take part in a mini tournament as such here. We're going to base them in Tipperary in Nenagh, my hometown. And from there, they're going to play little games against teams from Limerick, Dublin and Belfast. And it's just an aspect of life they'd never really get to experience, unfortunately, because of the siege and the conditions in Gaza. They don't get to play leagues as such. Their games are an ad hoc basis, and sport is something that's very hard to come by in Gaza, because it is something they love. When I was there in Gaza, it's just the first thing you notice is just there's so much passion for sport.
And bring us back to that, because, you know, it is unusual. When you hear it first, you're thinking, you know, former international rugby player and involved with a project like this. So how did it come about and how did you end up going to Gaza? Was that 2011 when you went?
Well, it was 2011 we went on the flotilla originally, and that was when we were unlucky. We didn't get there because we were intercepted by the Israeli Navy in the middle of the sea in international waters, and we were taken to jail. I was in jail for a week. So that was when we were bitterly disappointed not to get there. We were hoping to get there and start off these links that we've eventually managed to get up and running now. But we were lucky. We returned again. We went a different route. We went overland the following year, and a year later.
And before that even happened, Jeff, I mean, you were coming from a very, I suppose, secure, very intense, a microcosm world of sport, okay?
Yeah.
And really heroes on the sporting field. And then to go into something like this and end up in jail, how was that? And for a week?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say I'm a hero or anything, but I was lucky to have a great career.
A sporting
career in sport.
Hero. You're very humble, but a sporting hero indeed.
No, but I was delighted to be invited on board the ship, but it was a bit of a shock to the system, all right, to be ended up banged up in jail. But for me, or to be honest, jail sounds a lot worse than when you're away from it. Like for my family at home, probably it seemed like a nightmare because they couldn't contact us, and we were allowed one phone call after a couple of days. It's like the stereotype you see in the movies, you get one phone call. So I was like, I remember being in with the governor, and she says, you've only got one phone call now, so who's it going to be? And I was like, what would you do? Who do you call? So I called my then girlfriend. I was either choosing her or my mother. My mother won't be happy to see that she was second choice. So I called the girlfriend, but unfortunately, she was out. Her phone was dead. So it went to message minder in there.
Trevor, always call the mammy.
I know. Well, this is what I ended up having to do, because the phone was dead, and she said, if you leave a voicemail, that counts. That's a phone call. So I had to. I tried again, left a couple of missed calls, and I couldn't leave the voicemail. So I rang the mammy, and as it turned out, the mammy was probably the more secure, calming influence. Yeah. As typical Irish mammy, she was just asking, have you enough to eat? Are they feeding you well? You know, but in fairness, they weren't feeding me well. So, but what you expect, you're in jail. But I just said, oh yeah, there are loads of bacon and cabbage here. But it was,
then she got on the case, obviously,
it was in the media, and we were only in a short period of time. Like for what happens on a routine basis for Palestinian people, are detained without charge and held for years on end, and particularly people involved in sport, which is one of the most shocking things. People who are going to training are often held and locked up for years. Like the captain of the national soccer team, Mahmoud Sarzak, was held for 3 years without any charges being brought against him. So what we had to experience there was only a fraction fraction of what Palestinians go through. But it was a little bit of a wake up call to see how they treat you. You know, even though we were internationals, and they probably would have toned down a lot of the harassment. But the way you were like, even if you leave a voicemail, that counts. You can't ring anyone else. Oh, it was grand, but felt sad for the girlfriend. At least I got through to the mother, though.
Absolutely. Thank God you did and finally got out of there. So you went anyway the second time. And when you got there, what happened that made you think, I need to be involved with this?
Oh, it was just blown away. As soon as you cross the border, like, you're expecting a kind of devastation and a war-torn area. And there is that, definitely. And it's even more so, I suppose, after what's happened in the summer. But the first thing you see is children. Like, you see them dotted the roads because 50% of the population are under 18, so they're everywhere, the kids, and they're so cute, but they're all playing sport, they're all playing soccer, mainly soccer or else volleyball. And I had brought over some rugby gear, and I was like, maybe vainly hoping that they might take to that rugby ball. They were curious about it, but it was all soccer. It's all Barcelona, Real Madrid jerseys. And I think from then I realised this is a way that we can actually make it, some sort of impact here, and try and link up our maybe sports communities here with some of the sports communities in Gaza. I know we all saw the harrowing pictures of what happened to the four boys on the beach in Gaza during the summer, the Bakir boys, and they were just trying to play a game on the beach, you know. And It just brings it home to us. And I think the Irish people are kind of responding to that it could be a good way to try and bring some hope or bring some sort of normality to try and end the siege.
And who, Trevor, first of all said to you, listen, I think you should be involved with this, come over? How did who planted the first idea in your head?
Well, Zoe Lawler, who's heavily involved in the ship to Gaza, and Fintan Lane, they were friends just through basically going to maybe demonstrations and things like that, and going to meetings about Palestine, because I was just curious to learn more. But because you're involved in professional sport and rugby, you only get like 3 weeks off during the summer, and I couldn't risk during my career getting on a boat or going over there and maybe getting locked up or something going wrong, and you mightn't get back for a while for pre-season training. So I was just delighted. They invited me as soon as the injury happened and I had to finish playing. It just the timing worked out.
After
you know,
your knee injury.
Delighted.
And do you know what, Trevor? I watched your speech that you gave in the Day of Rage in August, just gone, and you were so passionate in that. I mean, you absolutely are dedicated to this cause. There's no doubt. 1 minute of watching that video, if anyone has a chance to look it up, you are absolutely committed. It was really something else to see.
Thanks. But I probably went a little bit overboard. It was in the middle of what was happening, and I just felt so passionate about it that I said I'd go with it. And I think that it is reflected, though. It wouldn't be just me. It's reflected across the country. I think there is a lot of sympathy for what's happening in Palestine. And it was not just me, but it was just something that you can be infuriated a little. And I'm sure if I would maybe regret that, I don't want to come across negative and downbeat, because the people of Palestine are so hopeful. And despite everything, that's the other thing, apart from the children, that strikes you when you're over there. You're expecting to be pessimistic and about the future. But they just embrace life, and they embrace sport especially. And that's something I want to try and tap into now and try and look for some way to make a difference.
And tell us now, what exactly is the opportunity? Because obviously pain and hurt to innocents anywhere in the world, no matter what religion, no matter what political background, is horrendous. And you're trying to alleviate that for these children. What exactly are you going to do?
So what we've done yesterday, we basically just launched a campaign, but we're asking clubs, especially in the soccer community, to kind of just open up their arms and maybe just have a look to see how they could maybe make it a special 2 weeks for these two kids, these 15 kids that come over, something that they'll never forget. We have links already with Limerick FC and a couple of grassroots teams in Dublin, but we'd hope maybe now that we've launched that other teams will jump on board and see if they can maybe host a game for the kids. It's just there is so much opportunity to make this something that they'll never forget. And I think the soccer community is a great community, and it's great to, in general, in our wider sports organisations will help so much. So we're hoping that those clubs will open up their arms, and also anyone that wants to contribute can go online, because it's going to cost a lot of money just to pay for the flights and their food and their accommodation when they come here. So we've got a website, GazaActionIreland.ie, and you can go on there and you click the support button, and there's options to donate whatever you can. But it will all, you know, it's often worrying, say, you know, what can I actually do? You know, what good is attending protests and marches and going nuts in a speech, like maybe what I did? But this is actually something where you can make a difference. If you throw a few quid online, this will help pay for these kids who have had no experience of the outside world, have no experience of actually even getting to leave. But we're hoping now this is going to be an opportunity that they'll never forget. They'll see a side of normality that they probably couldn't have even imagined. So they'll be able to bring that back, and hopefully that'll make some small bit of a difference, and it could last, keep going years later we involve more clubs.
Absolutely. And Trevor, it's so great to have you on board for them and involved with this. Also, you're busy. I know you're doing a teaching masters and you're teaching at the moment in Blackrock. So this is something that you're working on as well. It's very, very close to your heart. Gaza Kids to Ireland, GazaActionIreland.ie. Is that right? Is that
that's
website?
It, yeah.
Trevor, thank you so much for coming into us this morning. Keep in touch now with Ryan. Brilliant. I'm sure he'd love to talk to you. The very best of luck with it all.
Thanks a million. Appreciate it.